Taking on Big Tech. Hello, you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vivienne Nunes, stepping in for Liana Byrne. Good morning. Developments today in Brussels could open a new battlefront between US tech giants and the European Union. Governments across the world have been playing catch-up when it comes to regulating the power of big tech. Today, the EU will publish a list of companies known as gatekeepers that will be subject to new rules aimed at encouraging competition and stopping big players from crushing smaller rivals by buying them out. Edith Hancock covers antitrust issues in Brussels for Politico. Earlier, she told me which companies are in the frame.
Those are companies that run digital platforms and services that are entrenched in their respective markets. So we're expecting that to really focus on all of the big five US tech companies, Apple, Microsoft, Alphabet, Amazon, Meta. But also there was a notification period earlier this year where ByteDance, which owns TikTok, did also notify a potential gatekeeper status to the commission. And we also saw Samsung do the same.
Do we expect some kind of pushback from these big companies then?
There is a possibility for companies to rebut a designation given by the commission. The commission has said that this is only something that can happen in exceptional circumstances. But honestly, everybody is expecting there to be at least some pushback from these gatekeepers. We've already seen reports that, for example, Microsoft disagrees with the premise that its own search engine Bing might be caught under the scope of the regulation, because compared to Google Search, you know, Bing is really a much smaller competitor.
And how will users notice this legislation being passed, and what will change for those users?
We're seeing suggestions that we might have the ability to download an app just from a pop-up advertisement on your computer screen rather than having to go all the way through somebody else's app store. There's a possibility of seeing alternative app stores being available on devices. Basically, the things that we see on our laptops and our phones today are going to look quite different in a few years' time.
So this legislation is coming from Brussels for people inside the European Union. But do you think there will be a knock-on effect into other parts of the globe?
Well, we do always talk about the Brussels effect, and a lot of other countries will be watching this very closely. Internal Market Commissioner Thierry Breton even said yesterday that the European Commission is very aware that the world is watching.
Edith Hancock, Politico journalist in Brussels. Thanks so much for joining Marketplace.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. The price of oil went above $90 yesterday for the first time this year. It follows the news Saudi Arabia and Russia will extend production cuts of more than 1 million barrels a day through December. Shares in the English soccer team Manchester United plunged by more than 18% in New York on Tuesday, their biggest ever one-day fall. The team's US owners, the Glazers, have had the club up for sale for nearly a year, but there are reports it will be taken off the market. Are you a fan of K-pop? Catchy rhythms, talented young performers, and the advent of social media have helped the genre grow from a Korean favourite to an international phenomenon. It's now estimated the industry earns the country around $10 billion a year. But it's not just bands like the famous BTS that are turning K-pop into a valuable export. The choreographers behind K-pop dances are quickly gaining a following well beyond Korea's borders, as I've been finding out. I'm in a gym at a university campus in London. This is where K-Dance Camp is happening all week. About 70 participants have flown in from across Europe to be here. They're paying about $1,300 each to learn from some of the most famous Korean choreographers.
I've been a great K-pop fan for like a few years now, and I also really love dance. So I just saw this as like the biggest opportunity to really like learn and participate in these classes from these amazing choreographers and dancers.
It was a business opportunity spotted by Alex Lee.
We have to bring a lot of people from South Korea. We are bringing 8 dancers and also the K-pop company, our staff.
The 5-day program includes dance classes, meals and accommodation. There's also the chance to audition for a K-pop dance company.
After London, we are going to Berlin to host the camp there. And also we have plans to host in Australia, US, in other countries too.
Among the most famous choreographers at the camp is Yeji Kim. She's part of the 1 million dance studio in Seoul.
I feel very proud to be able to do this kind of thing. It's a great experience that I can't feel elsewhere.
The 1 million dance studio YouTube channel has 26 million subscribers. The company also has a huge following on TikTok, where dance challenges often go viral, spreading K-pop styles among dance fans worldwide. Perhaps the final test of K-pop's complete transformation from South Korean favourite to global phenomenon will rest on the success of Black Swan. The all-girl group is made up of members from Brazil, the US, India, and a Senegalese-born Belgian. None are Korean, yet that hasn't stopped Black Swan from trying to break into the multi-billion dollar industry. While some fans have questioned whether a group can really be categorised as K-pop if none of the singers are from Korea, others have embraced it as proof of the genre's growing transnational appeal. Meanwhile, rival group Blackpink headlined one of the biggest music festivals in the US earlier this year.
Cello, you ready for this one?
K-pop's unstoppable spread from dance studios to Coachella shows no sign of slowing. That's it from us here today in the UK. Don't forget, if you missed the live program, you can find us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Vivian Nunes with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.